Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I will be talking about some coaching news in the NBA. Looks like Dan Hurley turned down all that money to coach the Lakers, so we'll break that down. Darvin Ham, he finds a soft spot, so we'll talk about that. We'll give kudos to Tyronn Lue, who just got a lucrative contract from the Clippers. Then I will talk about Olympic basketball. I'll talk about the 3-on-3, who made that. And then also, of course, the actual team there that's competing in Paris. We'll talk about it, and you know the Caitlin Clark effect. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we're in the midst of the NBA Finals, so of course, I'll report on that when everything is said and done. Give my breakdown. You know how I do it. And then you have WNBA action, Commissioner's Cup. That's coming up soon. So, of course, I'll get into that. But today, I wanted to get into some coaching news in the NBA and then transition to the women's game because you now have the Olympic rosters that has been announced. So I will talk about that, the 3-on-3, as well as the 12-woman roster. I will talk about all of that in this episode. So just hang in there and we'll get to all of it. With that said, let me not delay any further. Let's talk about this coaching news in the NBA. It looked like last Friday on June 2nd, it looks like what happened was that the way it shook out was, no, it wasn't the 2nd. I apologize. It was the 7th, June 7th. So Dan Hurley and his family goes to L.A. Of course, they meet with Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, the general manager over there, about the Lakers coaching job, head coaching job. And they offer him 6 years at $70 million. So that's some big money there. But that still would have put him in like the upper five or six top coaches echelon there. So pretty substantial money, to say the least. It will be under people like Eric Spoelstra. It'll be under people like also Tyronn Lue, who I will talk about. And it will be under even a coach like Monty Williams. So all that seemed well and good with Danny Hurley, but he said, you know what? Let me go back and do something historic at UConn. If I could get that three-peat, I'd only be in the conversation with a John Wooden if I were able to do that. So that seemed to be the more important goal than taking the Laker job. So Dan Hurley decides, thank you, Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka, but I'll pass. And you got to remember too, guys, he's under contract already with UConn for 6 years at over $32 million. But according to the governor of Connecticut, Ned Lamont, sounds like, you know, they're even trying to renegotiate that contract and make him one, if not the top paid college coach in the NCAAs. So with that said, he turns down the Lakers job. So, guys, and you know, a lot of the pundits, you know, talked about it. They said they're surprised. Stephen A. was surprised that he did it. Shannon Sharp, he had kind of a honest take where he basically said, whatever you do, you make, well, I think Kendrick Perkins said it too. Whatever you do, you make sure that man doesn't get back on that plane without blowing him away with an offer he can't refuse. I mean, the $70 million for 6 years, that's nothing to sneeze at, but it seemed like they had to up the ante to try and get him to sign on the dotted line. The Lakers job is a toxic job, guys. It's a toxic job for a seasoned coach to take. That is a toxic job. Look at the coaches that's come and gone in the past. You can even look during LeBron's stay there. Luke Walton, out. Also, Frank Vogel. He at least got the bubble championship, but he was sent packing. And then Darvin Ham. Mind you, he got to the Western Conference Finals only to get vanquished by the Denver Nuggets. And then what he did last year, he ran into the Nuggets again and was ousted out of the playoffs. So I got to say it, man. This job is very hazardous to a coach's health, a seasoned coach's health. Now, that's not saying that somebody off the street like me, I would take the job in a heartbeat. And you would have to give me $70 million, but I digress. What I'm saying is a coach worth his salt is very hesitant to take that Laker job. Because look what it encompasses. You have to coach LeBron James, who I think it's going to opt out, but I think he's going to re-up for probably a nine-figure contract, I think. You know, he'll play a couple of more years and then he'll ride off into the sunset. And then, you know, you have Anthony Davis, who's going to be the cornerstone of this franchise. And then you got to get his blessing, because the last coach didn't get his blessing and he's out the door. So you have to take all those things into consideration, guys. That's all I'm saying with that. But the Laker job is not the glamorous job everybody makes it out to be. Is it a story franchise? Your lifespan on that job, if you make it to three seasons on being a Lakers coach, that's saying something these days. That's how bad a job it is. Where do they go from here? I guess J.J. Redick is still in the mix. And, you know, they threw that money at Hurley because I don't think they wanted to double back to a J.J. Redick now, which they might have to do. Also, like, you have coaches out there looking for a chance, like a Sam Cassell. Do you go that route? I don't know if I'm Sam Cassell. Well, Sam Cassell been trying to get a head coaching job for so long. But Jeff Van Gundy, who's out there, you can do that. Mark Jackson, I won't even bring up, because I think right now he's radioactive for reasons unbeknownst to me. But, yeah, so I think now that the Laker has in essence, been stood up at the altar, I think desperate times is going to call for desperate measures. Who the next Laker coach is, I have no idea. I don't think it'll be J.J. Redick, to be honest with you. Even with all that went on with Hurley, I don't think their eyes are pointed towards J.J. Redick. I don't think so. So we'll see what happens there. But he turns down the Laker job. Speaking of Darvin Ham, he lands on his feet, guys. He joins the Milwaukee Bucks as Doc Rivers' top assistant coach. And remember, too, guys, he was an assistant coach there for 4 years under Mike Budenholzer. In fact, it was Phoenix who offered him an assistant coaching job, coached by Mike Budenholzer. So you have that, but He turns it down. He turns down the assistant job with Phoenix to take the assistant job with Milwaukee. I think this is the better move for him, in all honesty. That's what I think. I think this is the better move for a number of reasons. How Doc Rivers kind of fizzled out last season. I think him being in that position there really bodes well for him in that regard. So, yeah, so I see, yeah, I see Darvin Ham in a much better position as an assistant with this team. So kudos to Darvin Ham, and we'll see what happens there. And then we'll give a shout out to Tyronn Lue. He signs a 5-year, $70 million deal, guys, with the LA Clippers. And this takes him through 2028-29 season. Tyronn Lue's record, it is 184-134. Four seasons, and in those four seasons, he made three playoff appearances. So Tyronn Lue, one of the top coaches in the league, they want to give it another go. You still got Kawhi there on the contract. They still probably want to maintain a Paul George. What happens with James Harden? I think Steve Ballmer, the owner over there, did the prudent thing in keeping Tyronn Lue in the fold, because you had a lot of teams that were knocking at the door. The Lakers being one of those teams. But you secure a guy like Tyronn Lue, and that's important for stability in your franchise. So kudos there. All right, so that is your coaching news in the NBA, guys. Now let's turn our attention to women's basketball. You have some surprise teams in the WNBA, Connecticut Sun being one of them, with their stellar record of 10-1. Under Stephanie White, who's doing an amazing job. She was coach of the year last year. She's doing a terrific job this season, getting major contributions from, of course, the engine, Alyssa Thomas, who's looking very good this season, averaging nearly a triple-double. Dawana Bonner, at the age of 37, just balling right now, leading that team in scoring. And then you have Breonna Jones, who looks like her old self, guys. I saw the game the other night with the Indiana Fever. She was doing just about everything. Blocking shots. She was posting and toasting inside. She threw a nice bounce pass. She looks like the old Breonna Jones. And very efficient around the cup. She's able to finish. So definitely the big three is back for Connecticut Sun. And then Dejanay Carrington, a person who I think is the leader in the clubhouse for most improved player. I think she's right there, along with a few other candidates. Maddie Segrist is another one I'm thinking of for the Dallas Wings. But Dejanay Carrington, she's doing it both ways, guys. She's been a staunch defender. I think with all is said and done, she'll probably make all defense, perhaps first team. That's how well she's playing. And then, you know, you have people on your bench as well. Rachel Banham, Olivia Nelson Aduda, Taeja Harris, who actually starts. And then you have Mariah Jefferson. So this team is rock solid top to bottom. So Connecticut Sun getting it done. They were undefeated, but the New York Liberty, in a game that I went to over there in Mohegan Sun. Beautiful arena, by the way. But the Liberty went in there and stole a victory and got the win over there. But, yeah, so Connecticut Sun, definitely a problem in the East. And then in the West, Minnesota Lynx are looking very good, guys. Cheryl Reeve is doing a fantastic job over there. Would like to see more of Alyssa Peely, but that's a story for another day. Nonetheless, They're led by Nafisha Collier, their sensational player, along with Kayla McBride. I call her Kayla McBuckets, who's been great. Alana Smith, an excellent pickup for them. Also, Courtney Williams. It seems like wherever she goes, she produces. She's the floor general that they desperately needed. So that team is looking real good right now. Also, you're getting somebody like a Dorka Juhas back, and she's looking good. Diamond Miller, you hope to get her back sometime soon. She's out indefinitely with that knee. So we'll see what happens there. But the team is looking good, and Cheryl Reeves, so far, looking like Coach of the Year thus far. We'll see. So that's a little snapshot at the WNBA. Now, Olympic-wise, we have our rosters, guys. First, the three-on-three. You have the team being coached by Jennifer Rosati, who we know is a legend playing out of UConn. She's the coach there. And on that team, you have Cameron Brink of the Los Angeles Sparks, Haley Van Lith, who was with LSU, but she transferred over. So she's on the squad. Also on the squad is Ryan Howard, who has three-on-three experience, so she's made the roster, and also Sierra Burdick, who is a veteran of three-on-three play, and she's kind of like the coach of the team on the floor. So Sierra Burdick, a very solid vet for this three-on-three squad. So kudos to these ladies, and hopefully they'll bring home the gold over there in Paris. But Brink and Van Lith, they've been playing as teammates for a while, so they know each other well. Ryan Howard, I think, will assimilate into this roster very nicely. And then you got Burdick, the veteran, who knows what to do. So solid roster. Then we have the Olympic women's team. I'll tell you the roster, guys. Nafisha Collier for the Minnesota Lynx. She made the club. Kalia Copper of the Phoenix Mercury. She's on the squad. Chelsea Gray made it, guys. She hasn't played the game yet. She's still dealing with that ankle. So we'll see what happens with her, whether she gets to play at all. That's still shrouded in mystery. Brittany Griner, who just recently came back. She had that toe injury, and she's got a couple of games under her belt. Sabrina Ionescu. And, oh, by the way, Kalia Copper, this is her first time in Olympic play. Sabrina Ionescu, the same. First time in Olympic play for Sabrina Ionescu. Jewel Loy of the Seattle Storm. She makes the roster. Kelsey Plum, another first-timer, making the squad for the Olympics. So she'll be on there. Brianna Stewart, Stewie, an old veteran. Diana Taurasi, of course. This will be her sixth appearance, guys. So a wealth of experience there in Diana Taurasi, who still has game, guys. Don't get it twisted. Of the Phoenix Mercury. Alyssa Thomas, this is her first time playing in the Olympics. And you know that's the engine. I just talked about her for the Connecticut Sun. She's the one who makes things go. She can D you up. She's got that little push shot that she has. Terror on the boards. Can pass the ball with the best of them. So she's a valuable piece of the squad. Asia Wilson, need I say more, the best player in the WNBA, bar none. Of course, another captain for this squad. And then Jackie Young making the squad as well. So that's your 12, guys. Left off the squad, the WNBA's leading scorer, guys, Arika Ogunbowale. She's left off the Olympic team there. So that bears some watching. Onyeka Onwuzike, who's enjoying a resurgence over there in Seattle. She's left off the squad. You can make a case for Skylar Diggins-Smith, who looks like her old self now. She's playing with Seattle as well. And Ogunbowale with the Dallas Wings. Dawana Bonner, you could make a case for her as well. She's balling for the Connecticut Sun. You can make a case for her making this club. And then the one that everybody's in tears about, just about, or there's enough controversy around it, and that's Caitlin Clark of the Indiana Fever. Christine Brennan, I heard her interview. She was on the Rich Eisen podcast, and or it was Dan Patrick. I think it was Dan Patrick. And so she was on there, and she basically called it a missed opportunities, a missed opportunity, obviously, because of the eyeballs you get on watching women's basketball because of Caitlin Clark, the Caitlin Clark effect in that regard. And then, of course, jersey sales. Of course, if you have her on the squad, jerseys will fly off the racks. But she said the sources she heard from says that if Caitlin would have been selected and got limited minutes, the selection committee, you know, the governing body there, didn't want to hear the outrage from them not playing Caitlin Clark much. Because you got to remember, guys, she didn't really get an opportunity to practice with this club. There was opportunities in November, but obviously she was playing for Iowa. And then in April, there was opportunity there, but she was deep into the NCAA tournament. So she really didn't get an opportunity to practice and learn the system. A lot of people lean towards the popularity route, and I'll talk about these folks in a minute. But that was Christine Brennan's breakdown of why Caitlin didn't make it. And then Jen Rosati, one of the people in charge of selecting ladies for the Olympics, she made a statement and said her lack of experience is, in essence, is what kept her off the club. So that's what they're putting out there. I heard a number of shows. I actually listened to Joy Taylor's show. I forget the name of it right now. Joy Taylor, she spoke and she hit some excellent points in regard to all of this. She basically said the governing body is not mandated to make selections based on popularity and based off of ratings. That's not their place. Their place is to win the gold medal with the most experienced players, the most ready players that you can find. And that's what was done with the 12 here. LaShawn McCoy, this is what he said. I couldn't believe it. The dumbest move the WNBA has made. Note to LaShawn McCoy, the WNBA doesn't make this choice. There's a governing body, a select committee. It's not the WNBA, LaShawn. It's the governing body. So that's who makes this decision, not the WNBA. And basically, they won 7 gold medals straight. They're going to win anyway. I've heard that take a number of places. James Jones, who was also on that panel there, said they actually went about this the right way. She's not the 12th best player. And who can argue that? And who are you going to take off? And then the thing is, too, I think the X factor is Chelsea Gray. We don't know if she's healthy enough to play in the Olympics or not. Come July, maybe she is. And then, you know, then we got another situation. But you're not taking Chelsea Gray off the squad. She's the best point guard in the world, period. End of question. So she belongs. Make no mistake about that, guys. Chelsea Gray belongs there. But of course, health is going to be key. So we'll see what happens there. Rob Parker, we're actually on the same page, Rob Parker and I. He said, to get a roster spot, one should earn it. And I'm in full agreement. This should not be given. It should be earned. I'm in full agreement with that. It should be an earned spot. It should be given to those that know the system, knows what's expected of them by Coach Reeve, Cheryl Reeve, she'll be coaching. So, yeah, it should be earned. But Chris Broussard, who he says the same thing as Christine Brenner, is a missed opportunity. Of course, because of the eyeballs, of course. So you have that take. Excuse me. So, of course, they talked about it. They had on there Stephen A., obviously. Shannon Sharp, he talked about it on his show as well. And then later he had Janae Awumake, who's doing a fantastic job, by the way, guys, talking about men's and women's basketball. And Andrea Carter, who I can't rave enough about. She's smart. She knows what she's doing. She knows the women's game in and out. Both of them former players, by the way. Andrea Carter in college and Awumake in college and in the WNBA playing alongside her sister, among other things. So they talked about it and they basically said, hey, look, you know, they took the belt, 12 best, and the committee relies a lot on experience, a lot on camaraderie, a lot on, you know, players that know each other. So you see a lot of aces on this Olympic team. You see a few Liberty players on this team. You see a bit of Phoenix Mercury players on this team. So you have familiarity in that regard. And then you have Stephen A. Smith. He's been on something lately. He think he's riding so high that only kryptonite can take him down. That's how full of himself he's been these days. From the situation with him and Monica McNutt, when they went at it and she told him about, you know, he should have been talking about this 3 years ago. Then he goes on his podcast. Not only does he disagree with her on it, he makes it seem like nobody knew who Monica McNutt was until she came on First Take. That is utterly ridiculous. She was the voice of the New York Knicks on radio before she became kind of a regular on his First Take. So slow your roll, man. He called Team USA's decision stupid and idiotic. Why? Because of the marketing part of it. See, he's always thinking about making a dollar. You know, that's American capitalism, which what can you do? But his mindset is about making a dollar, squeezing the dollar. She's the golden goose, take advantage, this and that, what have you. And he called it idiotic. This governing body has produced 7 straight goal-winning teams. They put them together. How can you call them idiotic? How can you call these people stupid? Just because they don't agree with what you're saying makes them stupid and idiotic? Come on, man. You wildin' these days. You wildin' these days. But yeah, so Shannon kind of agrees with him that, you know, they should have put Caitlin Clark on and that they'll win anyway. Here's another note to them. the world is catching up. They're not going to do like the men where they're playing around with this thing. The governing body for the women, they don't play around. They get the best players who can produce, who have camaraderie. That's what they do. So this whole notion that it's an idiotic decision is stupid because they're not filling their coffers, they're not worried about that. Their main objective is to win gold. That's their objective. And the world, again, the world is catching up. We've seen it in the men's where they're laissez-faire with it, and it's cost them. It cost them in the World Cup because Canada beat them, and they end up losing to Germany. But the world is catching up, guys. That's just the way it is. So this whole notion that you should put the popular player on over the player that knows the system and knows what's expected of them, it's lunacy, just plain lunacy. So that's all I'm going to say for that. But I think the committee did the smart and prudent thing. I think if Chelsea Gray can't go, I think it will come down to picking either Erica Ogunbowale or Caitlin Clark. So we'll see what happens. Let's say Caitlin Clark gets the 12th spot. You know she's not going to play a lot, guys. This is a newsflash. She's not going to get a lot of minutes, guys. And you know what's going to happen? The rabid, delusional Caitlin Clark fans are going to rail against the Olympics. Talk about, oh, they're picking on her, this and that. And I think the governing body thought about that and said, do we need this headache? Do we really need this? We want this team to win gold. We don't need the distractions. We don't need all this. And then furthermore, she'll be the rookie on the squad. And she doesn't know these players like they know each other now. So that's why those practices and stuff is so important. So you get to know each other, get to know certain aspects of what Cheryl Reeves wants, and you build a rapport. That has to account for something, guys. Seriously. And then people are talking about Christian Laettner taking the last spot for the Dream Team. When the Dream Team was first announced, they mandated that they take a college player. That was the mandate. Then after that, they changed that. So it was a choice between Shaquille O'Neal, Lonzo Mourning, and Christian Laettner. Christian Laettner, who was a fantastic college player, that's who they ended up picking. So it wasn't this choice where the Isaiah thing, that's more of a Isaiah versus Stockton thing. Honestly, you can't compare the men's select committee to the women's select committee. I know you would think they think in unison, but they do not. As always, I thank you for listening. Much appreciated. Of course, we'll get to the NBA Finals. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Commissioner's Cup. We'll do all that. WNBA All-Star Game is approaching. All right, guys. As always, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. Also on YouTube, I'm there. I'm on all your platforms in terms of the podcast goes. All the platforms, I'm there. Apple Podcasts, I'm there. Look out for me there as well. All the socials, I'm there as well. All right, guys? So I thank you for listening as always. Support this podcast on the website. Several buttons you can do that. My Cash App, $GD, that sports dude. That's my Cash App. If you feel compelled, please give to this podcast. All right, guys? Thank you for listening as always. We'll talk soon. Take care.